The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Yep, that's me. Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay in tow as well. Producer number 5 and 8, the Grover Cleveland of producers. How you doing, Jeffrey? Good morning, man.
I'm here. That's a good start to the day, isn't it?
It's a good start.
We're halfway through the year, apparently.
That is correct as well. Which reminds me, it is my mother's birthday today. Thank you for reminding me.
There we go. I'm good for something.
Oh, that one just got in under the gun. Thank you for that. Bill Krakenberger joins us on the show today, hour number 2. Unscripted with the Crack Man, Dan Weston, for his final appearance of the week. We've had Dan, we'll have had him 4 days in a row at Tennis Ratings. Dan will join us to talk Wimbledon a little later on. And Will Hill, as well, from the New York City cast. We'll talk baseball with him, football, what he's betting all throughout. Big Shohei day yesterday. We'll get into that with him as well. We were like, we're not going to talk about Shohei yesterday. Today we must. Oh, we must. By the way, I had tennis picks today myself. They've all started or ended already. So the two that ended were the two totals that you'll see on your board. Those split. Pliskova and Bolter are going to they're guaranteed to be over already, even though they're still playing. Bolter trying to force a third set. The Van de Zandschulp Rustavori over did not get home. It went four sets. Typically, you should be able to hit the over on that, but. You know who Rustavori, Jeff? He's our, I always used to say, when Irvin Santana pitched in baseball back in the day, he was my kryptonite. When I bet on him, he was terrible. When I bet against him, he was Cy Young. Rustavori might be that guy for me. Just kryptonite. Doesn't matter if it's a Cy, doesn't matter if it's a total, it never works out. And then the only two that are going on right now beyond those are two dogs, Victoria Golubic against Barbora Krejcikova as a plus 151 dog, Hugo Grenier against Christian Garin, plus 196, big price on Grenier. Both down, I believe, a set, although I haven't checked the numbers here. So not good starts on either, but if we win one of those, it's a winning day. Or if we lose both, it will not be. It will be a losing day. But one of those will have a winning day. However modest that will be. Wimbledon has been a grind the first 4 days, just sort of running in place more than anything. But anecdotally, that ain't a bad place to be. Let's just put it that way, hearing about some others as well. So we'll try to get one of those home, if not both, before the end of the day. Now, football, NFL, what we've been able to do here is sort of dip our toe in the water of the NFL. Certainly we've done it from time to time once these numbers are coming up in different markets, different sports books all around the country. But sort of now that college baseball, another golf major cleared, now we really are at that point in the summer where we can sort of tackle these day by day. No particular rush on these. But I should point out DraftKings first to market with alternate season wins yesterday. Now, Circa is usually the first market. Circa, by the way, let me just still shout out Circa, because their alternate season win totals on NFL teams are much more robust. Even the ones that DraftKings put out, DraftKings, I think, only had one alternate win total on each side, if that makes sense, of the conventional regular season win total for each of the teams. When Circa does it, they usually have multiple options on each side. So good on DraftKings for being first out there. Circa, we look forward to theirs as well. Those are not what we will look at today. What we will look at today is something that we took a peek at on Primetime Action a couple weeks ago, and these are available at both DraftKings and BetMGM. Just like what we were talking about yesterday with Coach of the Year and Comeback Player of the Year, you always have to shop around with these. But these are the dual forecast, if you will. These are, the horse racing term would be box exactas. 1-2 every division in any order. Now, there are exactas where you can bet them exact order as well. But wouldn't you say the better opportunities are here either order?
Well, we'll find out in a second here. Gil.
Oh, you've got them both ready to go.
We have the NFC duels, mm-hmm. and we have both for the AFCs. NFC side, it's interesting because if we look at the NFC East first, because of course your wheelhouse, which your beloved Commanders now, Gilly.
Don't remind me.
The interesting thing here is you look at in Dallas. Is involved in all three of the short shots. which is not really a surprise because they're the betting favorite to win the NFC East yet again. And then you just see how, of course, the last option falls off the cliff with the Giants and the Commanders finishing 1-2 in either order, Gil, which is not much of a shock. But I would actually, in this market, prefer, at least in this division, to just take the Cowboys-Eagles either order at plus 110. That would be what I would look to do, more so than just taking an exacta of Dallas and Philadelphia, 1-2 with Dallas first and Philadelphia second, just because I do give the Eagles a real chance to win this division.
Well, I will say this about divisions. We'll get to one here coming up where I think there is really a sensible long shot or two to take. Would you do it in the NFC East? The NFC East is the division where a different team wins it every year, right? It's a different team. That's been the hallmark of the NFC East for about the better part of this century, if you will, since the turn of the century. Is there any other combination besides Cowboys-Eagles that you think could seep into there? I mean, the Giants and the Commanders, you just don't see any possibility of that happening? Because I will tell you this, I think the Cowboys are perennially overrated, and I think the Eagles are getting a whole bunch of hype this offseason. They had a great draft, but so did the Giants. And the Commanders, if they get anything out of Carson Wentz, they're not a contender here. I might actually – listen, with all of these, and we don't have these in Nevada, let's just state this up front. So for all of these, the assessment is, would I really bet these or not? And the truth is, in the NFC East, I would not. Because I think the Cowboys-Eagles is probably the best one to take, but I'm not betting something for plus 110 all year long. Can we rifle to another one? Again, these are 1-2s any order. Because there is a division where I think there is a legitimate bet I would make. Here's the NFC West. Of course, for most of recent history, considered the toughest division in football until this coming one. Rams-Niners, plus 125. Well, if it's Trey Lance, no. Cardinals-Rams, plus 230. Any order, finish 1-2. Cardinals-Niners, plus 350. Rams-Seahawks, 11-1. Niners-Seahawks, 14-1. Cardinals-Seahawks, 22-1. Well, you got to include the Rams in it. And whether it's the Niners, the Cardinals, or the Seahawks, well, forget the Seahawks. But there's no Rams, Niners, Cardinals, Rams price there that I like.
Price isn't good enough on Rams, Niners.
Good enough, not good enough. And again, with the Niners, there's the quarterback question. Next, there's one coming up. I promise you, this will pay off at some point. NFC South, the Bucs aren't short of a Tom Brady injury. They're not going to finish third or fourth here. Bucs Saints is minus 200, just to give you an indication of how favored the Bucs are in this particular division. Can I interest you in the Falcons-Panthers finishing 1-2 in any order at 100-1?
No, thank you.
Let's go to another one here. Let's go to another division. Also in the National Football Conference, the final one, the NFC North. Packers-Vikings minus 145. What about here? I am not as bullish on the Packers as everybody else is. I could be very wrong about that, but I do think the subtraction of Davante Adams is going to be significant. Could they fall all the way to third? Is there a Vikings-Bears 16-1 shot here that interests you at all?
I'd rather have Vikings-Lions personally if also, I were going to take one of those 16-1
also 16-1
shots.
Las Vegas Chris would be in my ear right now saying Jeff is correct. Vikings-Lions 16-1 would be the shot. Okay, I think that's a... That would be a possibility to take a flyer on that.
It's in play.
First one that's in play to me.
100%. I think the Bears are going to be one of the three worst teams in the league this year, and that's no fault of Fields. I just think their roster construction's terrible. So that's why I lean more to the Lions, even though it's going to be hard for Detroit to really be as good as some think with how bad they were a year ago.
Let's go to the AFC.
And we're going to have the AFC East in a second here, Gil.
AFC East. So you know where my play? Can you guess which division my play's in? Here's the AFC East dual forecast. Bills-Dolphins plus 120. Bills-Pats plus 120. Bills-Jets 8-1. You see all the other combinations. We all agree that short of a Josh Allen injury, the Bills are going to be 1 at worst 2. And it ain't going to be the Jets. Sorry, Jeff. So there's no play here.
The only thing that could...
Stop it.
No. I'm not... It wouldn't be the Jets.
Oh.
The only thing that could happen here is if there's a massive improvement by Tua and Miami takes a leap. But then the only problem with that is Buffalo's still going to finish second.
That's what I'm saying.
So there's nothing there.
Next. Time crunch. AFC North. All right. The stuff that's happening off the field with the Browns. Do you buy that they will stink, though? Do you buy that they're absolutely not going to be 1-2? Ravens, Bengals, plus 175. James Salinas got this at plus 450 about a week ago. This is why you have to get ahead of the Deshaun stuff. I have a Deshaun theory later in the show. Anything there on the screen. These are pretty interesting, but I still wouldn't bet them. I would not bet a season-long thing to have the Steelers finish 1-2. Next. AFC South. AFC South. This is arguably the most top-heavy division in football. Would you take a Colts-Jags? Obviously, Colts-Titans minus 250, the biggest favorite across the divisions. Colts-Jags plus 450 or Jags-Titans, would those interest you?
Jaguars-Titans is interesting.
I still wouldn't bet it, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet it. I would like more, but that's interesting because the conclusion that Indianapolis is going to be as good as some people think they're going to be is not there. But we have the last division here, which is obviously the big one.
This is where the bet is. AFC West, I think this is where I would make an actual wager for the season. Although these aren't as long as they were. But to me, it's the toughest division in football. I am super high on the Chargers, and I actually think the Raiders are super underrated. I would take a Chargers-Raiders 9-1 shot there.
I wouldn't hate Kansas City and the Raiders at 6-1 either.
That is the most bettable division for sure. Makes sense, logically. I think there's a bet there. But if you're asking me what I would really bet, this is what I would really bet. Will Hill on baseball and football next. Numbers Game Visa.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. By the way, apologies to Circa. They did have alternate season win totals at first. A little birdie told me something wrong in my ear. Not you, Jeff. Did Circa used to do multiple, though, on each side? Because they too, just have the one option on each side. Maybe I imagined that.
I'm pretty sure it was one on each
was
side.
Was it? Maybe I completely imagined it. I always thought it was
maybe
two.
Maybe the first year of their existence they did multiple.
Maybe they did, yeah.
But I'm pretty sure last year it was just one on each side.
Yeah, I don't think I'm imagining. Once upon a time, someone at Circa will tell me, once upon a time I remember that you had multiple. So they have one on each side as well. Alternate season win totals, which, you know, we'll talk about. That is the true thing to me in the NFL. In terms of season-long baseball, regular season wins, great thing. 162 games. There's so many chances to overcome negative variance if your handicap is good. NFL, let alone college football, which is even shorter. You have a bad 2 or 3 weeks, you might be tostada. I get it. It doesn't mean toast. That's where alternate season win totals to me is the best. Drew Dinsick said it best, I think, once when he was on here, where he said the notion that those are priced properly is a big-time fallacy. So, and if you look at final standings of an NFL season, the teams where alternate season win totals, I'm talking about plus money bets, where those cash is, those are the majority. Those are not the exception. Those are the rules. So alternate season win total still to me the holy grail in terms of season long. But again, I'll say those 1-2s, those dual forecasts available at shops like BetMGM, there are a couple there. And I think for me, Raiders, Chargers, 9-1, finish in any order. I know Chiefs fans are going to tell me I'm crazy. But Raiders, Chargers, 1-2, 9-1, that to me is the best bet on the board. Will Hill joins us from the New York City cast, wherever podcasts are distributed. How you doing, Will?
Gil, what's going on? Jeff, nice to see you guys. Jeff, I was out scouting your boy Alvarez last night. I am married to the game. I'm out there, you know, scouting Scherzer, Alvarez, just really working around the clock.
Yeah, tell people you went out and watched Scherzer last night.
Yeah, Hartford Yard Goats versus Max Scherzer and Alvarez, one of the best prospects in baseball, hit a ball that I think is still traveling. As soon as he made contact with it, Everybody in the stadium, all the players on the field just stood and turned and watched it. It landed on the street. Just an incredible shot. Scherzer was throwing. I think he hit like 97. Looked like he was throwing the ball pretty well. Of course, I was a few beers in, so, I mean, who really knows? But he did get hit a little bit. Sounds like he'll be back Monday, the 4th of July, to pitch. I think that's against the Reds. So DeGrom threw a 27-pitch bullpen. Sounds like he's sure taking his time. He's sure taking the long road, but sounds like
they can afford it, though, right?
Weeks.
Yeah, they can afford it.
I guess it's only three now in the NL East, as Jeff knows. It's only a three-game lead with a lot of games left and a lot of games head-to-head. So, look, that's we're looking at an old-fashioned pennant race in the NL East. Should be fun.
I understand you guys have a lot of scar tissue, so I get it.
I mean, it would be very helpful if the teams against the Braves would play at a higher level than the 0-3 Tigers, but that's a different discussion
so
for a different
that's
day.
That's what it is. It's always something.
Hey, look, they're, the one thing that's very interesting in the NL right now, though, Gil, there's a legitimate argument to be made that the two best teams in the NL are the Mets and the Braves.
Yep.
There's a legitimate argument at this point with the way that the Dodgers have looked the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's a legit argument for the moment in time. Let's put it that way. That's for sure.
Somewhere, Jeremy Bonderman is drinking his coffee saying, what the hell did I do? He's catching strays. I mean, the 0-3 Tigers, he didn't need that.
The Hartford Yard Goats, by the way. That's an excellent effort by you, Will. Excellent. Okay. I don't intend to talk about this every week, but it seems like you're on every Shohei start. Do we have those tweets? Do we have some tweets from about Shohei last night? This is, again, the notion that anyone else is actually the MVP is kind of comical. This is from the appropriately titled Angels PR tweet, which I love, of a Shohei since June 9th. Let's just pick June 9th randomly. Four games started, Will, 3-0. 0.34 ERA. That's a 26 2/3 innings pitch. He's given up one earned run. Is that good? 36 strikeouts. Got the win last night. Hitting, 355, 22 for 62, 9 runs, 4 doubles, 1-3 bagger. I remember that one when, was that the one where Mookie just laid out for it on the no-no? 6 homers, 17 ribeyes, 12 walks, 1.189 OPS. I'm just going to riff. You don't mind, do you? ESPN stats and info. Shohei this month, 11-game hit streak, career-high 8 RBI June 21st. Remember the career-high 13 Ks the next day, June 22nd. Hardest hit home run of his career, June 25th. 21 2/3 consecutive scoreless innings, counting longest streak of his MLB career. And one more to drive home the point, because I think you get the point I'm making here. And this is also from ESPN stats and information. Shohei, third pitcher in Angels history to strike out 30 batters and allow 0 runs in a 3-start span, joining John Lackey and Nolan Ryan. 4 pitchers have had 30 Ks and 0 runs in a 3-start span in the last 10 years. This is a pretty good list. Ohtani, DeGrom, Sale, and Kershaw. So the question is a little different. MVP or Cy Young? Which, you must bet one. Which one do you bet?
I think Cy Young, just because of the year Judge is having, I think the narratives have already set in with, look, the team's having an incredible season in terms of the Yankees. You know, he's had walk-off hits. I mean, look at the pace. They're on 120 wins. I think Cy Young is more attainable just because it's just more wide open. Yeah, McClanahan, Verlander, but I could certainly see a compromise here in Ohtani winning the Cy Young and not the MVP, which seems kind of contradictory because if you have a Cy Young winner with this many home runs, Right. Wouldn't you think he's the MVP?
Exactly.
It's a fascinating case study.
This is because this is where, like, the human aspect again would get really annoying, right? Like, we'll just give him the Cy Young. But then he's clearly Right. It wouldn't make any logical sense on that. Obviously, Cy Young, longer odds. I think FanDuel had the longest I saw out there, like north of 20 still as of yesterday. May not be there anymore. 8-1 over at the Westgate last we checked here on Shohei to win the Cy Young specifically. What bets did you make in baseball today, sir?
Yeah, I got a few unders. I played under 4.5 the first 5 with the Twins and the Guardians. I actually had a live bet on the Twins last night as I was driving home. I put it in. I got them like plus 200. Saw they were up 6-3. Don't see how they lost. I don't want to see how they lost. I guess it was a wild comeback for the Guardians. They've had a few of those. So I did play under 4.5 first 5 there. I got a few unders. I played under 4.5 first 5. Braves and the Phillies. Acuña is probably going to be out. Harper's obviously out. Nola versus Anderson. Nola's pitched really well. I don't know that he can win a Cy Young, but he's pitched incredibly well. I don't know if he has the strikeout numbers, but he's got just, 0.87 whip, something in that area. He's pitched extremely well, so I played the under there. And I played the under first five, Cubs, Reds. One of my favorite pitchers, nobody probably seen him, heard of him, Graham Ashcraft. His stuff, if you guys haven't seen him, his stuff is just incredible. Looks like he's throwing 100-mile-an-hour wiffle ball. So I played it under five there. And over 4.5 strikeouts for Ashcraft. Had 8 last time. Like I said, just incredible stuff.
What has been your best, if I were to break down your baseball betting pie between full game sides, full game totals, 5 innings for both, anything else you're betting? What has been the most successful? What has been the thing that has gotten the best of you?
Yeah, I would say the K-props, which I'm doing more and more of, are really, I think that's a beatable market. And if you have a bunch of books, you can find the best of the numbers. Sometimes that's off by a strikeout, which is extremely valuable with a market like this. So strikeout props have done well. Usually my bread and butter is under first five, like the 3 I just gave out. I'm telling you, I miss the National League, the old National League rules. I don't like the DH. I just loved, a sleepy start to a National League game where you get the pitcher hitting. That's thrown me off with the DH now in the National League. So I played off in terms of full games now. It's only first five. So, K-props have been good to me. And I would say the DH rule now in the NHL has just kind of thrown a monkey wrench a little bit into some of my handicapping.
Team on the outside for yes, no playoffs. Team currently on the outside of the playoff picture as we approach the halfway point of the season now here next week. Team on the outside in either the AL or the NL that you would make a yes wager on to make the postseason, or a team that's on the inside that you'd make a no one on.
Who is currently for the American League? I don't have it in front of me because the AL East keeps shuffling.
American League, Guardians, and Rangers, first two out, I believe.
And all the AL East teams are in?
All the AL East teams are in.
I'll say Tampa misses.
Tampa misses.
I'll say Tampa misses.
Wow.
They're not as good. Their defense isn't as good. A lot of injuries on offense. Their pitchers get hurt. I mean, I don't know what goes on with their pitchers. Their pitchers get hurt at an insane rate. I'll say Tampa. I don't feel great about it, but I'll say Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa percentage points, 2 wins, same loss column amount as the Guardians, but a couple more wins based on them playing 2 more games. So Tampa Bay just percentage points ahead of the Guardians for what would be the final playoff spot in the American League. More with Will Hill on the other side. Find out if he made some more NFL bets. Allow him to chime in on the ones we've been talking about the last couple days as well. Will Hill from the New York City cast right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, just like Brent said, Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay here as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Joe C713, up to that number taken. Someone's name that rhyme. Oh, no, that's not the one I want to read. Sorry, went too far back. Roger Kane, Colts fan here. I'm having flashbacks to this time last year when my optimism about Wentz was similar to yours. Please prepare yourself for a lost season and high draft pick in the next draft. I speak from experience, buddy. Hey, Roger, I don't know if you've paid attention, but I am the absolute bottom of hope for Carson Wentz. I am the single biggest pessimist when it comes to Carson Wentz. I expect the worst, my friend. I don't know how you got the any positive vibe for me, but it is quite the opposite. Scott H., can you remember the last time you said forget the Seahawks? It's a great point. Pre-Russell Wilson at a minimum.
Charlie Whitehurst, those days?
Didn't Charlie Whitehurst win a playoff game?
Charlie Whitehurst won week 17 that got him into the Beastquake
right.
game.
He got him into the Beastquake game.
Yeah.
Yep. Jason Stark, not that Jason Stark. Hey, Gil, I was lucky enough to be at the Goats game last night to see Mad Max and met not the Will Hill. Will Hill, our own Will Hill on Twitter at not the Will Hill. Great guy. That bomb from Alvarez was insane. Probably the longest ball ever hit there. There you go. Shout out for Will. Kenny G, happy birthday to your mom. It's also mine. Looks like I'm in great company. Thursday's my favorite day with Gil and Bill. That's coming up. Then as far as the Shohei Cy Young that I was talking about, teasers and parlays, FanDuel had Shohei at 25-1 last Thursday. This morning, 12-1. Brandon Webb just bet Ohtani 14-1 less than an hour ago at DK. He's now 12-1. Well, I can sit here and tell you guys, I still see a couple shops that are north of 20-1. Might not be the two you mentioned, but there is shops that do have Shohei at Cy Young at north of that. By the way, Jason Weingarten's been talking about betting Shohei for Cy Young for some time now. Will Hill joins us. Will, how about that? Nice shout out from somebody who said you're a great guy, man.
I don't know about that, but I did meet him. It was fun. Yeah, I was walking by somebody. He did a double take, and I could tell by the way he was looking at me, he recognized me. But I was like, how many people? You never realize how many people watch these shows, Lombardi Show. So yeah, it's always nice to meet the fans.
Yeah, Drew will tell you it's far more powerful than you would imagine from being here. That's for sure. And so we're always humbled by that. You're also like a big guy, right? Like, what is it? What is your height and weight?
No, this took a weird turn. I'm like 6 foot. I think it's 5'11 3/4.
Oh, I thought you were like 6'8. No, I'm kidding. I thought you were taller than that, though.
I got to get on the scale. The scale's downstairs. If you want, you can, talk to Jefferman. I can go down and run to the scale and report back to you.
We're not that excited about it. No, I thought you were much taller than that. My apologies. I thought you were Sporer height, but apparently not. Paul Sporer.
How tall is Sporer?
6'5". Checking in at 6'5". And he weighs like, a buck 80 with wet washcloths at each hand. Yeah,
the Chet Holmgren of baseball analytics, of course.
Chris Sale of baseball analytics, yes. Okay, football. Have you added any bets here in the last week?
Sure. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Week 18. I've got a bunch of them.
Oh, my
Texans
God.
Plus 10 against the Colts. Lions plus 8 against the Packers. Falcons plus 7.5 against the Bucks. Patriots plus 7 against the Bills. There's a theme here. I'm fading all the division winners with the idea that, look, there's not that second bye anymore. So if these teams that win the division are locked into the one or locked into, for that matter, to the 2, 3, 4, you could have a situation where you're getting a touchdown or more with teams that are possibly favored. I think it was the Lions that were favored over Green Bay last year in week 18 because the Lions, look, they're still going to play their guys because they don't care. And the Packers are just going to play their backup. So just taking a chance here that these teams that are, favored to win the division, expected to win the division, could be locked in. And if you get the worst of the number, you're getting it probably, look, anything can happen, but you're probably getting the worst of the number by a few points, where if all things break right for you, you got a situation where you're looking at a great number.
Well, I respect your moxie, Will. I certainly do. January 7th is week 18. January 7th of 2023. We are in June. So we're talking about just over 6 months, just over a half a year. And so I get it. There's your logic. But you decided that logic was worth those bets, in other words. And you made how many of them?
Four. And apparently, yes.
Okay. And apparently, what'd you say?
Apparently, yes. Apparently, I did think it was worth it.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Apparently, you thought so for sure. Anything else that you had? So you have week 1 and week 18 bets. Is that correct?
That's true. Got a week 1 teaser. You mentioned adjusted season win totals. Do they have the Browns up or no? I wouldn't think they do.
I don't think they have the Browns up. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a nice there's some variance there with the Browns. That might be one to look at.
Let me see. I'll check both of these here, but I'm going to guess no as I go through these. But by the way, what you're reading the tea leaves right now. What do you think about how that's going to go down?
Probably suspended for a year.
Suspended for a year. Here was a theory, and this is nothing more than someone riffing, right? But I'm just curious what you think about this. And this is from someone who is in the legal profession who says this. He said, I could be wrong, but I don't think Watson gets suspended for the year. Listen to this theory, because I believe he'll be gone for a year too. That was my theory as well. I'm with you. But he says, I believe the NFL leaked that it was seeking an indefinite, at least 1 year suspension so that they could hide behind that comment when the mediator, former federal judge, suspends him for 8 to 10 games. The NFL will say this is the first year of the CBA where the mediator decides, and they're not going to appeal the decision to Goodell because they don't want to undermine her authority right out of the gate. When the NFL really does want him to play because Cleveland being good and relevant is good for the brand, and the NFL really doesn't care about some of the other stuff that they might purport to care about. So that's a theory, right? Interesting. interesting to riff about, because if that ends up being the case, you're like, okay, well, then he will be back for a nice enough chunk of the year where that might be playable the other way. That's not really the conventional wisdom right now.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thought. I would have a hard time thinking it's eight, just because from a perception standpoint, with a 17-game season, eight is less than half. And I could already see the headlines, the takes. Hey, you didn't even give him, you gave him less than half the year. So I think eight's the magic number. It has to be higher than eight. So nine, 10, again, a nine-game suspension would be an odd number.
Even he said in this theory, he's like, it's 8 to 10 games minimum. I mean, I think that's the bare minimum. I'm still with you. I still think a year. What about some of the things that we went over yesterday? Jeff and I went over NFL Coach of the Year. And again, hugely different numbers from book to book. You really do have to shop around on these. Do you have a Coach of the Year bet that you would make? Do you ever make these season-long awards bets?
Of course I do. I haven't bet that this yet, but I like, of course. Yeah. I love this market because this is a market where you can sort of scratch off guys right off the top. I mean, anyone who made the playoffs last year has a hard time winning this award this year. So you can go through it and really knock off 10, 12, 14 guys right off the bat. So it's usually a new coach, a younger coach. You know, we've seen McVay win it. We've seen the younger blood win it, who won it a couple years ago for Cleveland. Stefanski won it. So it's of all these awards, we always say they're narrative based. This is the one where it's really narrative based, where it's, you know, a team that didn't make the playoffs last year makes it this year. So I haven't bet anything yet. What are you guys thinking?
Well, I mentioned yesterday for me, you know, just in terms of long shots, because Jeff pointed out correctly, so where a lot of the first year coaches are the shortest shots. Which I found a little, I mean, like, on the one hand, I get it. On the other hand, I'm like, really? So many of them are the short shots? So, you know, just looking on the list right here, which you might be able to see, these are at BetMGM. But again, big difference, right? Because at a shop like William Hill, McDermott was the short shot, which I find ridiculous that he would be the short shot. Anyway, for me, so I'm looking at a long shot, and I was like, what about Ron Rivera? If the Commanders did anything, big if, but if they win the division, if they get to the playoffs even, big ifs. But who has dealt with more off-the-field distraction and more mishigas from every possible direction than that guy? So he's like 30, 35 to 1. Jeff, what was your shot? What did you like?
I thought Mike Tomlin at 30 to 1
which
was
I think
pretty
is
good.
Smart also.
Yeah.
What about
you? Could have made a case from a few of these years. The Duck Hodges year last year, I mean, you never win it with like, you know, a 7-8 win season. I think they won, 9 last year. But I'll throw out one, and I'm looking at some of these guys. You can already cross off. Stefanski won it a couple of years ago. It'll be hard for him to win it. McVay off a Super Bowl, he's probably not winning it. So you can really pair some of these guys off right off the bat. How about O'Connell for the Vikings? If they have a good year, mentioned their schedule's favorable. 9 home games, only 7 on the road, 1 neutral. Green Bay without Adams, you know, that team has a lot of talent. You can have the narrative that the young coach comes in, turns them around, gets the most out of that team. I think O'Connell's around 20 to 1. What do you guys think about that?
I would say, what about Dan Campbell? 16 to 1 in that division. Like, if the Lions do anything, I mean, think about where.
Gotta make
think
the playoffs,
about how
though.
Everybody made fun of them, right? And how a rise from those ashes would be an interesting narrative. Chris Felica says, what's Harbaugh? Do we know what John Harbaugh is in all this? 30 to 1 also. I don't know.
Not terrible.
I think that team is considered to be good already, right? So that would be a tougher sell. Anyway, it's going to be a fascinating market as it is every year, but boy, a lot of different prices. Hugely so from book to book in this. Will Hill's podcast is called The New York City Cast. You can follow him on Twitter at that's with two E's, not the Will Hill. Will, always appreciate it, man. Thanks for stopping in, because I know you're always bet heavy.
Next week, 2025 NFL Week 6 picks, so stay tuned.
Looking forward to that. Excellent. Dan Weston on Wimbledon next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code VSiN200 to win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a homer, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM all season long. Sign up today with King of Sportsbooks. Eligibility restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification. participation and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada and Mississippi. Jeff Passan tweeting, over the last 3 weeks, Shohei Ohtani has put up 2.5 wins above replacement. He has been the single best pitcher in baseball and the 15th most productive offensive player. So many take for granted what he's doing. Don't. This is a once-in-a-lifetime show. Relish greatness. That from Jeff Passan. He also adds, MVP voting should take into account many, many more things than wins above replacement, but they do offer an interesting primer, and the American League right now is a doozy. Per Fangraphs, wins above replacement now, Devers 4.1, Judge 4.0, Ohtani 4.0, Trout 4.0, Jose Ramirez 3.9. Logjam at the top of WAR, at least the Fangraphs version of WAR. Remember, that's a little different from the Baseball Prospectus version of WAR as well, even though the two have tried to get together over the years on a consensus. We talk Wimbledon now with Dan Weston. Good morning to you, Dan. Dan from Tennis Ratings. You can follow all his stuff at Betfair. 4 days in a row of Dano. Dano, I am on the cusp. Let me just be real here about my plays here this morning. Let me just check an updated score. I'm on the cusp of going 1-3 today to drop a couple units, and for the tournament, if that does come to pass, I will be down 2 points, like a little less than 3 units for the tournament first 4 days. So it has been a grind, and it has definitely had some surprising results, and on your end as well, I gather.
Yeah, so obviously we saw Andreescu lose a really tight match to Raya Bikina not a match with not many break point chances. It was very, very close, 52-48 in terms of percentages of points won. So, yeah, that was a tough one. And the other tough one, I mean, last night, the Van Rijthoven match against Opelka.
Yes.
I mean, one break in the whole match, and it was in the first set.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There is a lot of variance involved in all this sometimes. And we talk about sort of a win-loss record for an individual tournament, and I think it's really, really tricky to have a lot of weight into that. Yeah.
100%, which is exactly what I wanted to say about it, which is it's so funny when people want to – when people want to criticize you, they're like, oh, yeah, you're down two-plus units in this tournament. I was like, you realize that's 4 days of tennis, right?
Yeah.
So people, it's par for the course in the sports betting world. If they want to dislike you, Dan, they'll find a reason to, trust me. 100%. You know how it is. It's the same way across the pond, is what I'm gathering?
Yeah, you do get the odd troll. Yeah, it does happen.
They're fun. While they sit in their mom's basement, we just move on in life.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that said, let me just talk about Van Rijthoven for a second. So he wins that serve bot match against Riley Opelka. I was on Van Rijthoven in that. He wins it, as you said, 3 tiebreakers out of 4. The only one that wasn't a tiebreaker was the very first set, which is comical. What about a guy like that? I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to beat Djokovic, and I guess he gets Djokovic next. Is that correct?
Yeah, so he has to beat Bezalashvili first, and Djokovic has to beat Kecmanovic first. So it would be potential round 4.
Potential round 4. He's got one more, potentially. I mean, he is unbelievably steely. I mean, I'll give him that much. You know, and again, out of nowhere, a guy who had done nothing on the ATP Tour, he shows up at his home country's tournament on grass a couple weeks back and beats Fritz Auger-Aliassime, and most famously Medvedev in the finals, and destroys him. And you're like, how is this? Like, where is this guy hiding? How is this possible that there's so much talent out there? And so, go ahead.
Seven wins in a row now. Incredible.
Incredible. And there's no way you can really forecast something like that. But when you have a big serve, particularly on grass, it's the old Kevin Garnett thing that anything is possible. But Djokovic is not possible, correct?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you, because you know Djokovic doesn't perhaps look as imperious this year as he has done previously so far, and he's not going to want to play a guy who is very, very strong, consistent on serve. And we saw yesterday with John Isner as well how difficult it is to break these guys when they're serving well. I was super impressed with Isner yesterday against Andy Murray. And not just with the serve, but the way he was playing around the net was magnificent. And
Brad Gilbert called it the best match he's ever seen. Or I think it was Gilbert said best match he's ever seen Isner play, period.
I didn't hear that. Yeah. I mean, the best I've seen him play for a very long time, for sure. He was lights out yesterday. And when these big servers are playing well, it's a big problem for even the pre-match favourites or the bigger names. Obviously, Djokovic is in a completely different league to the current version of Murray. But still, it's a hurdle for Djokovic, that's for sure.
It's a hurdle. I mean, I think that much we can say. I was sort of, we did the podcast last week, and somebody in German, by the way, I had to put it in translator, was killing me because I actually even brought up Van Rijthoven. And it's like, no, it's almost not tennis, right? I mean, in a certain way, when you have a guy like that, when you have a serve bot situation, you're not really playing, you're playing a skill. And that skill is so hard to get past to play actual tennis. So it's on this particular surface, it's tough. What do you have left today? Anything left today?
Today, I think we're done actually today. But I've had a look for tomorrow.
Okay.
So there's a couple of spots. These are not strong leans at all, but there's a couple of spots I don't mind. The first one is. I mean, Drew will be very pleased about this, is opposition of Cameron Norrie in some way.
He's smiling somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, he's facing Steve Johnson. And you can, on Betfair, I don't know if there'll be an equivalent side market somewhere in US as well. You can lay the three sets at around 2.38. So it's effectively backing the match not to end in straight sets at about 1.7. I mean, Norrie played over 3 hours against Munar in the last round, and Steve Johnson is a far better grass courter than Munar is, and I just find it really difficult to see Norrie win this match easily.
So what was that, plus 2.5 sets then? Is that what you're saying?
No, you can do it like that, or it's just basically. The match to not be three sets. You can bet on Betfair, or you can do just over 3.5 sets as the side market in the match.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Betfair. What's available at Betfair may not be available here stateside. I'm curious but there's a way to manipulate that bet. In other words, there's different ways.
Exactly. And I think that just over 3.5 sets should be available at most sportsbooks, I would have thought.
Okay. Jeff is nodding. You're seeing that, Jeff, the 3.5?
I mean, it's either over three. There's over 3.5, Johnson plus 2.5 sets. There's ways to massage it here.
To massage it. Stevie Johnson with the porn stash, as we like to say, that he keeps rocking. Okay, what else you got tomorrow?
In the women's, again, this is not a strong lean, but... I watched Caroline Garcia yesterday against Emma Raducanu, and she's played a lot of tennis recently. She won in Bad Homburg. She's now obviously played a couple of matches here. She's got the strapping on both legs, and Shuai Zhang is in great form as well. And Zhang as a slight underdog for me makes more sense.
Yeah, Caroline Garcia, who beat Andreescu at Bad Homburg, correct? In the finals, if memory serves.
So and obviously beat Raducanu yesterday.
Yes. At Wimbledon. Not a fun day for British tennis yesterday, huh?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, not a fun day between Raducanu and Murray at the top of that. Okay, so Stevie Johnson, either over 3.5 sets, plus 2.5. Sets, however you want to play that, whatever pricing is better there for Stevie Johnson. And then on the ladies' side, the fade of Caroline Garcia going with Shuai Zhang. That's who she's playing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's Shuai Zhang on the ladies' side. Dan's two plays for tomorrow. Dan, we don't have you anymore this week. Let's both turn this around here during the fortnight of Wimbledon. Long way to go. We appreciate it. As always, thank you so much for all the time this week. It was a treat.
I really enjoyed it, Gil. Thanks so much.
Dan Weston, everybody, from his lair somewhere in England. Can't thank him enough for spending the time afternoon over there in England. Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted, next Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.